carry.
What's up, campus? How are we doing? Doing good? Guys, it's great to be together tonight. And like Matt said, tonight we are going to be diving into Jesus. But isn't it kind of crazy? It's May. When did that happen? Did this semester fly by for anyone else? Is that just me? Okay, I'm so sorry for those of you who didn't fly by. Amen. You're almost there. But guys, it's great to be together tonight as we continue our theme of fit life. And we'll get into our title lesson in a little bit here. But let's pray together. Amen. Pray with me. Amen. Father God, thank you for bringing us here tonight. We're so grateful to learn from you, the Master Jesus, tonight. You've created life and you've perfected it, God. And we're so grateful that we don't have to do life on our own, but that you show us the way. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And you've gifted us with following you. We're so grateful. Just pray that your Holy Spirit would move tonight so we can be more like you and we can be inspired and convicted by your scriptures, God. We love you. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to start out by asking you guys a question. So when you were a kid, who did you want to be when you grew up?
Oprah.
Think about that for a second. Oh, Oprah. All right. But who did you want to be when you grew up, when you were a kid? You know, we all think about that when we're growing up. I don't know what that was for you. But it kind of shows as kids, like, we want to be somebody when we're growing up. We want to do something for the world. Even as little kids, we think about what we're going to offer to the world. You know, when I was 8 years old, I wanted to be a New York Yankee. I wanted to be like Derek Jeter. I wanted to be like the Yankees that I saw play on TV. I thought they were like the cream of the crop. They were the guys to be like and to imitate. And then I realized that they're really not all that amazing. They can play a sport, but actually they're really flawed people. Players started being caught taking steroids, and I realized that baseball is just a game, and that really these players idolized baseball, that it was their god. But it's just a game. And so then during high school, I decided, I really want to focus on being a famous singer-songwriter. I want to be a professional at that and make my way in the music business. I want to be like John Mayer and Ed Sheeran and bring more genuine music to the world. And I was inspired how much my favorite artists influence people. And I wanted to play like them. I wanted to look like them, talk like them, and even sing like them. And I pursued doing that for years. My family shelled out money for me to chase that dream. And I really thought that that was the way to change the world right there. And so ever since I was a kid, I wanted to change the world somehow. So I thought music was the way to go. And then I realized during high school that all these musical artists are lost too. Deeply lost. And that they were flawed people as well. And that their lives were really in shambles. And so if I followed them, I would follow them into a desert of sin and emptiness. But I still made it clear to myself and my parents that I wanted to make an impact because I knew life was short. But then I met Jesus. And I was astonished. It's the funny thing that I quickly realized is that he was just a man, just like all these other men, but he was perfect. And I could imitate him in every way. There was nothing about him that I didn't want to imitate in my own life. He captivated me. He captured my attention. He made me feel more valued and treasured than I ever have before. He made me know for certain that I am loved. He made me come alive inside. He was everything I was looking for in a friend, a coach, a teacher, a healer, a role model. But not only that, but I came to see clearly in the scriptures that he is God. He's God himself. He is perfect and he is the Savior. He's the Messiah. He's the only solution for my sin. He's the only way I can change. He's the only way I can be a world changer. And there's never been a man whose existence has changed the world quite like Jesus. Let me prove it to you. Our entire calendar is built around this guy's birth. Every ruler and king who's ever lived is dated in reference to Jesus. He's revolutionized the way we treat the poor and the outcast. He's changed the way we view and treat women and children. He's changed education. The first universities like Harvard were made to train Christian priests. So even our modern education system is rooted in Jesus. He changed medicine. His example of healing the sick has inspired thousands to start these centers who take care of the sick and those in need. You might have heard of them. They're called hospitals. He never wrote a book, but the book of his life is the most translated and sold and most stolen book of all time. Kind of ironic. He has the greatest influence on architecture. No one today has seen his face, but he's the most recognizable face in all of art. We don't have any music he created, but he has an entire genre in his name, gospel music. He didn't have any kids. But parents everywhere model his example. He never had a wife, but millions of men have studied him to be better husbands. He took 12 ordinary men, sinners, and made them into the most powerful organization this world has ever known. Education, politics, literature, art, music, business, parenting, social work. Jesus has revolutionized every aspect of the human existence. And when he met the one thing that was supposed to that takes down every other human being, he defeated it by literally rising from the dead, conquering death. He's why the universe exists. He's why I'm breathing right now. He's why you're even alive right now. He's the answer to all the evil in the world. He's the maker of all of us. He's my best friend. He's full of grace, full of truth, full of power. He is love. He is Lord. He is Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I am honored to follow Jesus. Honored to follow Jesus. And guys, tonight we're just going to soak up Jesus. Amen. And so the title of my lesson tonight is Give Me Jesus. Give me Jesus. And honestly, as I wrote this lesson, it was hard to narrow down what I wanted to say because I'm amazed by Jesus. I love him so much. And I want to speak about him in the right way. I want to make sure I do it justice. So here's the goal for tonight, guys. Tonight's lesson, our goal is that we all leave here inspired by Jesus with a stronger desire to want to get to know him better and to really every day of our lives seek to get to know him better. So we're going to dive deeper into Jesus tonight with the aim of being more amazed by him and leaving this time really being more grateful that we get to follow him. Amen. So also, tonight is going to kind of work a little different. We're kind of going to have like a quiet time together. We're going to read through passages of scripture together. We're going to break it down and we're going to talk about how we can put it into practice practically. So hopefully tonight can kind of teach you too how to read through scripture, how to take a lot out of it. Amen. And so that's what I'm excited to do as well tonight is really do that with you guys. So it's going to be kind of a working quiet time together. Turn your Bibles over to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Yes, I'm biased. So I want to ask you guys a simple question tonight. Are you amazed by Jesus? Are you amazed by Jesus? Does he just leave you speechless? Is he on your mind? Is he on your heart? You know, Flavius Josephus, who's a first century Jewish historian, this is what he said about Jesus, right? This is just to show you guys, hey, Jesus is real. He's rooted in history. He's not some fairy tale. This is what he said, this Roman historian. He said, at this time that he lived, there was a wise man who was called Jesus. And his conduct was good, and he was known to be virtuous. And many people from among the Jews and other nations became his disciples. Pilate condemned him to be crucified and to die. And those who had become his disciples did not abandon his discipleship. They reported that he had appeared to them 3 days after his crucifixion and that he was alive. I don't know about you, but when I read that, that kind of fires me up. Because I'm like, that's the real deal. That's my Jesus. And it's not just in the Bible, but it's in history. And a good question to ask an atheist sometimes is you could ask him, hey, so you know how there's that movement ending death of Jesus? And they're like, yeah. So how do you explain the explosion of Christianity? How did that happen? There's no resurrection. Why the heck are all these thousands of people becoming Christians if he died and he's done? And usually people be like, yeah, well, you know, I never really thought about that. I'm like, so, dude, you can't make a claim that Christianity isn't real. You haven't even looked into that, right? But we can have that confidence as Christians that we follow a real man named Jesus who's really God. He really died and he really rose from the dead. Amen? Especially in your college classes, you got to stand up with that. But Mark chapter 1, we're gonna look at Jesus here, starting in verse 21, and break this down. You guys with me?
Yeah.
Verse 21, it says, they went into Capernaum, and when the Sabbath day came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, what do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Be quiet, said Jesus sternly. Come out of him. The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, what is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him.
Wow.
News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. Wow. That's amazing. And so before we start breaking the scripture down, you know, when you read the Bible personally, your personal time with God, a good question just to ask yourself to learn about Jesus is just ask yourself, what did I learn about God in this scripture? The nature of God. So when you read about Jesus in scripture, you got to ask yourself, what am I learning about Jesus? Because Jesus was God in the flesh. So whatever you're learning about Jesus, you're also learning about the character of God. They're not two separate things. They're one being. Jesus is God in the flesh. And so we're going to kind of do that. Let's look at God's character here in Jesus. Let's see how we can learn about that. So what happens here is this evil spirit, right, taking over this person's body. And what's crazy is in verse 24, it says, what do you want to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? And then he says this, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. So that's kind of got to freak us out. Like the people around there didn't really know who Jesus was, but this evil spirit was shook. He was like, whoa, that's Jesus, the Holy One of God. And that's when the evil spirit got scared. The other people around are kind of like, we don't know this guy yet. But this evil spirit was scared and really trembling. And he realized, man, this is Jesus the Christ. This is the Holy One of God. And he really had this spirit, had this kind of respect for Jesus. But do you have a proper respect for Jesus as much as this evil spirit? That's kind of a crazy question to think about. But do you have that same view of Jesus? Like, whoa, this is the Holy One of God. This is the King of Kings. That's Jesus right here. Because this spirit has it, but do you? Do you have a healthy respect for Jesus? Do you have a healthy fear and awe and humility before the power of Jesus? Or does this evil spirit know and respect Jesus more than you do? You know, what amazes me about this scripture is that this spirit really, really is shook. But sometimes we don't look at Jesus this way when we pray to him. And so how can you tell if you don't have a proper respect for Jesus? Let me help you out. Here's how you can tell if you don't have that proper respect. You don't pray to him with reverence and awe. You don't find yourself on your knees a lot. You don't take a moment to think before you pray and think about who you're praying to. Or you pray very little. You keep sinning and hurting him even when you know it's wrong. You just keep doing this chronic sin. It's a lack of respect for God. You don't humble out when the scriptures correct you, or when someone corrects you with scripture. That's not respecting God. When you'll humble out. Does that make sense, guys? So Jesus has all the power. There's no one more powerful than him. But are you submitting to his authority in your life? Do you respect Jesus as you should? You know, what's amazing, though, about Jesus is that even though he's the powerful, almighty God who can drive out demons, create everything, and destroy it if he wanted to, he's powerful, but he's still so human. He's so relatable. He's so compassionate, isn't he? He's just so human. He's got that perfect magic mix that pulls people in. He's confident yet gentle and full of love. You know, you see this a lot in the gospel where, like, Jesus will invite himself over for dinner at someone's house. And he's, like, eating with them and, like, kind of warming up on them and probably trying to get on their good side. And as he's eating your food, he'll be like, oh, by the way, all y'all are going to hell. Y'all need to repent. You know, like, he had the ability to do that. And then he'd be like, what did he just tell us? And he'd be just walk out, all right, love you guys, but that's the truth. Like, he's just full of grace and truth. He just was. And that's just rare to find nowadays, right? It's rare to find someone that's going to love you, but also really tell you the truth. But Jesus did that. He was so relatable. Let's keep reading here in verse 29. Mark chapter 1, verse 29. You guys with me? So it says, as soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the house of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. And that evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. We see that again right here. These demons knew, oh snap, this is Jesus. So we see here that Jesus met people's physical needs. You guys see that right there? He deeply cared for humanity. And after this epic moment of driving out this impure spirit, which is kind of radical, kind of like a movie moment, then he has this really human moment. And he just looks at Peter's mother-in-law and just looks at her and he takes her by the hand and he helps her up. Just a sick woman in her bed. Something that we can do as well. Just loving somebody. So Jesus, he heals the masses here, but he also really loved the individual. He was a healer. And he took the time, even after this long day. I mean, just imagine that. You walk out of the door, you're like, I think that's the last thing today, Peter's mother-in-law. And then, boom, a whole town at the door. And he's like, all right, bring it on. Let me keep loving these people. He brought healing. You know, he had all the power, but he wasn't a monster. He was a healer. He was a friend. He was approachable. He was about getting rid of evil. Guys, Jesus is a healer. Jesus can heal you fully. Let me ask you, have you let Jesus heal the most broken areas in your life? The deepest wounds in your heart? Because he's a healer. Why not let Jesus heal you? You know, no one brings healing like Jesus does. No self-help book, no religion, no girlfriend or boyfriend or friend or drug. Nothing heals like Jesus heals. And he cares about you more than anyone. But what have you left untouched by Jesus and his healing power? Really think about that. What things have you not let Jesus come in and heal you? What's the evil in your life that you're not letting him drive out? Are there things burning on your heart that you haven't talked about with somebody? Sin, pain, frustration of some kind. Is there hurt inside that you need to get open about? A past sin, a scar, a lie from Satan, an insecurity, an accusation. I don't know what it is for you, but guys, it's time to get open about it. It's time to talk about it because Jesus is a healer. That's who he is. And he wants to heal you. Amen? But how can we put this scripture into practice? I mean, we got to go to Jesus to get healed just like these people did. But I just want to ask you, do you meet people's needs wherever you go? Do you look for needs to meet? It's kind of what I'm asking. Right. as Christians, we must meet people's spiritual and physical needs. Amen? So how can we do that? We can serve the poor like Jesus did. We can serve those who are sick. We can take a trip to another country where there's really more needs. Do a medical brigade. Serve people there. You can just go right to Newark or Patterson and do street team. But guys, we got to meet people's physical needs if we really want to know Jesus' heart. Because that's a lot of what he did. But another way you can really serve people is getting them in the Bible so they can get healed by Jesus. Right. You just introduce them to the healer. You say, hey, can we do Bible studies? I know this is going to help you.
Yeah.
That's serving somebody. The Bible heals. Amen? Amen. But we got to bring people to the scriptures. But here's the reality, guys. Even though Jesus was all powerful and could drive out demons and all these things, Jesus needed God. He needed to connect with him. He was fully human, just like you and me. He needed God. Let's keep reading here in verse 35. Verse 35, it says, very early in the morning, oh boy, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. When Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, everyone is looking for you. Jesus replied, let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Guys, Jesus got time with the Father. And it was a priority in his day, each and every day. And you know, usually in the Bible, when we read the Bible, when we see people looking for Jesus in the Bible, you know where they find him? With the Father. With God. Getting time in the scriptures. Time in prayer. Even as a young boy, when his parents lost him, he's like, I'm in my Father's house. That's where you're going to find me. And you know, for me, honestly, for most of my life...
You guys like my gallery?
For most of my life, you would not have found me in the Father's house. You would not have found me reading my Bible. You know, I remember when I first started studying the Bible with Ross Lippincott, and he challenged me like we've all been challenged. Hey, bro, I want you to read the book of John. I was like, do it. Let's go. I knew this was the plan. I've grown up in this church. I'm going to do it, man. A week goes by, and then we get together for the next Bible study, and Ross is like, dude, how's it going? I was like, oh, dude, it's been great. It's been really good. Dude, yeah, I've been reading, man. He's like, oh, dude, that's awesome, bro. What are you learning? Dude, Jesus, man, it's just amazing. You know, like, I was reading this thing the other day. He, like, healed this person. Dude, it's crazy. Ross is like, kind of that Ross Lippincott face, like, you know, and I was like, oh, dude, this is stupid. But, like, honestly, guys, like, I am not a reader at heart. Like, it was a battle to start reading the Bible every day. So I just want to encourage you, if that's a battle for you right now, like, it can change. You can grow. But guys, we got to be serious about our times with God. Jesus got time with the Father. When they looked for Jesus, they found him in the Father's house. But where do people find you? How do you spend most of your time outside of school? Are you having quality personal times with God? Or are you just having appointments with God and then just going about the rest of your day disconnected? We can't have appointments with God. It's not right. But guys, Jesus and God, they were tight. But here's what's cool. You can do that too. You can be tight with God just like Jesus. You can make a positive change in the world because you, yes you, can be tight with God. That's what it takes. You can be close to the Father. It just takes being intentional. Amen? So how can we apply this scripture? One, these are just some practicals for you guys. Plan quality time with God into your schedule and don't let anything get in the way of it. Amen? So it's like it's in your calendar and nothing's getting in the way of it. So you wake up on time. Why? Because it's in your schedule to get time with Jesus. And if someone says, hey dude, you want to do this thing tomorrow morning? You're like, nope, that's my time with God. Hey, dude, you want to stay up all night and study for this test and then just sleep in? Nope. I need time with God. But do you have that self-control, guys?
Yeah.
Or does it, the day go by and you're like, oh, shoot, I didn't have my quiet time today. Guys, that's got to alarm you. It's got to be like, whoa, red flag. I'm starting to have appointments with God. It's not on my heart. Amen? Another thing you can do is just read a new spiritual book. You know, sometimes I just got to learn new things. I was getting D-time with Matt and Vinny, and they really helped me. Like, they were like, dude, you just got to learn some new things. And I was like, you're right. I got to get refreshed. So I started reading some new books, and it's getting me more excited about God. Another thing you can do is challenge yourself to pray longer. Try praying for 30 minutes. Yeah, even just 30 minutes, you're going to find yourself like, dang, this is tough. But you got to start somewhere. Maybe start with 5 or 10 minutes, but start praying more. Have a reading plan for your quiet times. Talk to your disciples. Say, hey, can you help me develop a reading plan for what I'm going to study out this summer? Ask other disciples how they connect with God personally. Ask them, hey, how do you connect with God? Yeah. Go have quiet times with other disciples. But what we see here is that Jesus, he walks with God. He was tight with God. He prioritized his time with the Father. Amen? Yeah. So, you know, one thing I think about a lot is, don't you just wish you could have a conversation with Jesus? Yes. You know? And just kind of experience what that's like. Sometimes I've done that in a study room and really be like, I'll pull up the chair and be like, I'm just going to pretend Jesus is right here. And I tell you what, it really changes your prayer time when you picture him right there. Like, hey, how's it going? So there's this thing going on. Oh, you know about it. But anyway, so I'm really trying. If you could just help me. Like, it just changes the way you pray. It really does. Sometimes I'll go on trails and just walk, and there's this spot on the trail where, like, I meet Jesus. Like, that's the spot. And it's like, it kind of feels different once I get to that spot. It's like, so God, Jesus right here, please help me. And it helps me to connect more. But you just got to do whatever you got to do to really connect. Amen? But I want to ask you guys, I want to hear some responses here. How do you guys think Jesus made people feel when he encountered them? Raise your hand. How do you guys think Jesus made people feel?
Accepted.
Yeah. What else do you guys think?
Noticed.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Safe.
Yeah.
Special.
Worthy.
Worthy.
Not alone. I saw some other hands over here. In the back, Josh.
Yo, so people gravitated
towards him. Yeah. For sure, yeah.
Challenged.
Value. What else? Yeah, Jordan.
Sad because they realize how sinful they are.
That's real. They walked away with some godly sorrow. How else do you guys think Jesus made people feel when he encountered them?
Loved.
Yes.
Heard.
Important.
Like, they didn't know where he was
taken. Yeah, like, who is this guy? Confused. That's true. Valid.
Inspired.
Maybe a couple more. Inspired. Yes, Kyrie. Secure. One more. Yeah. Yeah. A little angry. Yeah. So, you know, that's kind of an interesting batch of answers right there. But I think one thing that we can all agree on is that Jesus made people feel really loved. And he was full of grace and truth. But that's love, right? But here's everything you guys just said. You can make people feel that way.
Yeah.
You can. Jesus, that's not reserved for him and him only. But all those things that you guys think, you can do that for somebody. You can make them feel heard, important. Notice, you can also make them feel a little uncomfortable. You can also make them feel a little confused by why you're preaching truth into their life. But, you know, as I sat down, I thought about, man, what do I love about Jesus? What draws me to him? Guys, it's his love. It's his love. You know, Jesus, he did a lot of amazing things. He left people amazed. He forged leaders that could forge leaders. He walked on water. But what I love the most about Jesus is that he submitted his power and authority to God. And when he didn't want to go and die, he didn't call down 10,000 angels. Amen? And he let us kill him. God himself. He died on the cross for you and me. That's what changes me. That's what stumps me about God. It's his love that's got to gravitate us towards him. Amen? I remember in Daniel's cross study, it's kind of like, what do you think about that? And he was like, it's just kind of too good to be true, man. It's just kind of too crazy. I don't even know if I believe it. And just kind of seeing that look on his face like, is this real? Like, dude, it's real. It's true. He loves you like that. But that's what amazes me is that Yahweh himself, God, got into my skin. He got into our world. He took on my sin. He bled and died, and he rose from the dead. He actually died and physically rose. And why? Because of what I've done or you've done? No, just because he loves me. That's it. Because he is love. He lived a life of love every second of every day. He lived a sinless life for you because he knew you couldn't do it yourself. And that's why it's such an honor to follow Jesus. Guys, we get to follow the risen King, the conqueror of sin. Are you grateful? Like, are you grateful that you get to follow Jesus? Amen? You know, if you haven't yet made this decision to follow Jesus, I just really want to ask you, like, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Like, what is so good going on in the world where you're like, I got to stay here, man. It's just so good. Wow. The divorce rate's going up. Suicide rate's going up. People are depressed. People are really confused about what to do with their lives. People are frustrated. And yet we're like, some of you guys are holding on to the world. Yeah. And I'm like, what is so good there? I get confused. But maybe Jesus confuses you. I'm confused by the world. I'm confused by that. Yeah. Guys, just what are you waiting for? Follow Jesus. He's better. Yeah. It's better on the other side. Isn't it, guys?
Yes.
It's better with Jesus. Is Christ at the center of your Christianity? Is Christ at the center? As we come in for a close here, I just want to ask you that question. What is your standard in your life? How do you make decisions? Is it Jesus and what he would do? Or do you just make decisions like kind of your own version of Jesus? Your own 2019 on-campus college student trying to fit in version of Jesus. Are we disciples of our version or disciples of Jesus? Those are two different things. So I just really want to encourage you guys that is Christ at the center of your Christianity. It's not churchianity. It's not New Jersey campus ministrianity. It's Christianity. It's about Jesus. Christ is why you should do what you do. It's because you love Jesus. Because you want to follow him. You want to genuinely be exactly like him. That's what it's all about. That's got to be your aim in life. That's the best thing you can do with your life. You know, what impact do you want to leave on the world? What difference will it make that you walk the face of the earth? I mean, really. Jesus, we're still talking about him thousands of years later. He did it. So for me, it's just logical. He did it. I can't do it. I'm going to do it his way. Done. And just learn from him. But let me just say this is that, guys, the church is dying for people to step up and lead. We need leaders in the church. We need people to go into full-time ministry. I mean, we really do. But more than anything, the church needs every disciple just to be a disciple. To follow Jesus. That's it. It's so simple. We just need to be like him. Yes, we need people to step up and do ministry, but we just need leaders. They're leaders because they're just like Jesus. And Jesus was a leader. You lead by example. Just want to encourage you to do your part. Amen? You know, when you decide to follow Jesus, you decide to change the world. That's what happens when you decide to follow Jesus. And you guys that have made that decision, your world changes. You really are. Caleb Hughes, man, you're a world changer. You're a world changer, dude. Tamara, you're a world changer, girl. You are a world changer. Doreen. Bro, you're a world changer, man. World changer. You guys are world changers. But you gotta believe that about yourself. Jesus sees that in you. He's literally chosen to change the world. That's amazing. So we got to be grateful for that. I want to invite the worship team to come up here. You guys come up. So, you know, guys, let me just close out with saying this. I just want to read John 14. verse 6. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus says this. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So, guys, that's stinking awesome. So you want to know the way? You want to know the truth? You want to know life? It's all in Jesus, amen? It's all right there. And so, guys, let's be excited about that, amen? He's the teacher you need to imitate. He's the friend you need to be. He's the servant you need to serve like. He's the healer that wants to heal you. He has all the power to drive out evil, but most of all, he is love. He's what you're looking for. He is your solution. Amen? So guys, let's be amazed by Jesus and spend your life helping others to be amazed by Jesus. Amen? Guys, let's pray together and we're going to close out. Sing and give me Jesus. Amen. Father God, we're so grateful that we get to follow you, God. God, I pray that tonight we'll just make decisions that will lead us to be more like you, God. I pray that we can really make decisions tonight and repent and be amazed by you, that tomorrow morning we can